2 weeks before the birthday, it's like, oh my goodness, I think his schedule is already booked. So I emailed him. I said, Steve, would you be able to come? And he graciously canceled wherever he had to go and come here. Mississauga. So forgive us, Mississauga. We're happy to have Steve here. So just welcome our senior pastor.
Thank you very much. It's very, very good to be here. And it actually wasn't that hard because I was able to change it around to go to Mississauga last week. And I got to practice on them the talk that I'm doing today. So I think it's going to be a little bit better. I'm hoping it's going to be a little bit better. Yes, you can open that. Perfect. I do have some notes for you that we're going to get into a little bit later. I have a little tradition. And if everyone who turns 50 that I'm invited to their party, I give them a $50 bill. So, John, there you go. Happy birthday. So, you can do the same if you like. Start a new tradition. I don't know if you're doing those kind of things. There's no $65 bill. See, that's the issue. Is it's like 5, 10, 20, 50, and then you got to get to 100, don't you? Anyone wanting to get to 100? Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I think being in heaven for a few extra years may be good. So, what was I going to say? I was going to say that it is a real privilege to celebrate people's birthdays. That's what I was going to say. And this year, Faust and Fernando from our Mississauga campus, do you remember, John, when his birthday is? Is it February, March? He's just after you. And Ramesh turns 50 this year from our Scarborough campus. And my wife turns, well, she doesn't turn 50, but the numbers 0 and 5 are in her birthday this year. So, and Sandra is actually, we're going to be having a surprise party for her. She knows that there's going to be a party, or I've told her I'm going to be doing a birthday party for her. She has said, no, you are not. And I said, yes, I am. So she's, just to let you know, it's going to be Saturday, April 21. So if you have a schedule and you'd like to come, it's going to be at the airport campus. Don't know exactly what time. It may be 2 o'clock until 4, that kind of thing. But it's we are going to be having a party. And you got to do that, don't you? When Sandra was 40, it just happened that some of our pastors were in London, England. And so we went there, and I had made arrangements to rent the London Eye, the huge big Ferris wheel that is right on the Thames. And so we have a meeting at Kensington Temple, which is one of the largest churches in London. We're there meeting with their staff. And then John Arnott says, well, let's go walking on the Thames and let's find somewhere to eat near the Thames today. So all of our pastors are in on it. And we head down by the Thames, and all of a sudden another pastor friend of ours, some of you may know a gentleman by the name of David Campbell, and David is a pastor in London. He's part of the Elam Pentecostal churches. And he shows up. And my wife's going, what's going on? Why is he here? And it's like, well, he's, John's always on the phone. I think probably John just talked to him. And so he heard that we're going to be having dinner. And so he's not too far away. It's only about an hour drive for David to get there. So David's one of my buddies as well. And so Sandra's, okay. So we're just walking. We're just sort of loitering around the London Eye. And now my cousin, Rose, and her husband, Nick, show up. And we had just spent the evening with them the previous night and said our goodbyes and all those kind of things and see you next year. And so when they arrived, Sandra goes, what's going on? And it's like, surprise! So we had a wonderful time. We went into the London Eye. It got a little boring because it's like half an hour ride. And when you're like three quarters of the way up, you can already see as much as you're going to see. And then we started praying for people. And every time you get to a certain place in the London Eye, and there's a little announcement that says, everyone look out the west window and have your picture taken. And so we didn't hear that. And so we go down and they have, would you like to see your pictures? And our pictures, half the people are on the floor. It was like, it was quite interesting to, Daniel, are you trying to get me going? Okay, something blanked out. That happens occasionally. Yeah, it's like me, I blank out sometimes. It's probably, is it recharging? If you, did you just pull that out? If need be, I can do without. What was I just saying? Yeah, so we're all on the floor. Anyways, we didn't buy the pictures. It was pretty interesting. And then we went to the National Theater, and I had made reservations for a really nice dinner with everybody. And Sandra, all the way through the meal, she's going, who's paying for this? And it's like, I am. And she goes, all I want's a dishwasher. So what she didn't know was that I knew that there was Naomi and Bruno from our Newmarket campus had also planned a surprise that was coming up in a couple weeks. And so she got her dishwasher. There was some cash that were given there, $50 bills. Or actually, it was my birthday, $50 bills. On her 40th birthday, anyways, people gave her some money. We got dishwasher. That's bottom line. Well, we are in a series at all of our campuses talking about our theme for the year, which is expanding your kingdom by pursuing your presence. So the little project that you're getting ready for next month of just trying to pray without ceasing is a very good, very good thing. Do you remember in 1 Thessalonians, I think probably Alexander talked about this a couple weeks ago, there was this verse, there's these verses in 1 Thessalonians that says, rejoice, how often? Always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. And then it says, this is God's will for you. So the issue that we're trying to do as a church is, how do we push into God? And our assumption is that as we push into God, that kingdom things are going to begin to happen. So if you're not sure of the little phrase about the kingdom of God, I just stepped on my bag here. I should probably go the long way around. The kingdom of God is basically this. Everything that is taking place in heaven can happen on planet Earth. It's supposed to happen on planet Earth. Do you remember when we prayed the Lord's Prayer? If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at this real quick. Matthew chapter 6. An amazing prayer that Jesus teaches his followers. And it goes like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Very good. Thank you, Amy. This is a very interesting verse. Do you see that little phrase in verse 10? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is one of the strongest prayers that we have in our Bible, where God is speaking to us, Jesus is speaking to us and saying, if you want to know how to pray, here's how you pray. And God is expecting that when we pray this, that we're actually believing it. And so the prayer is all about the kingdom of God coming to planet Earth. Now, one of the challenges when we have our Bible is that our Bible was not written in English. The New Testament was written in Greek and the New Testament was written in Greek and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. There's a couple books that are written in Aramaic, which is a modern language still spoken in Iraq today. Whenever you translate, you're not always going to get it perfect. And so one of the things that the Greek language has, which English doesn't have, is all these tenses and moods, and there's when you look at a word, you can see that there's a little bit more oomph behind it. And for example, when we look at this passage, everything in it is about imperative. Everything is basically saying something like this. So I'd like you to read along with me. This is how Jesus would like you to say the prayer. So let's read this together. Your kingdom come. Now, that's what it means. Let's keep going. Your will be done now. Give us our daily needs now. Forgive our sins now. Protect us from temptation now. That's how the prayer is to be read. It's all about kingdom stuff right now. It's not about kingdom things maybe, could be, should be, would be. When Jesus is saying, pray like this, the mood, the tenses are all about immediate, to be expecting. And so our big challenge is, do we actually expect and believe that God wants heaven to come to planet Earth? I think we all know that that's true, but that's the challenge. And as you and I push into the presence of God, one of the amazing things that happens as we push into God's presence is that God does show up. If I was to visit you and go to your house and you're there, do you show up? That's pretty easy, isn't it? If I go visit you and you're home, as I push into you, you're right there. And usually when you go to someone's door, they're opening the door, they're giving you a hug, they're giving you a handshake, they're taking your coat, and you're connecting. And it's like every time that we push into God, God is right there. Now, I have this little physics theory. I wasn't very good at physics. I wasn't very good at a lot of sciences. However, I understood that physics is about reactions. So for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I don't know who invented that, if it was Newton or someone like that, but it was one of those physics laws, wasn't it? So here's my theory. As I push into God, and God is right there, if God is right there, then God things begin to happen there. Does that make sense? And so this is what Jesus is teaching us. He's saying, expect things to begin to happen. So I have a question for you. What's happening in heaven? What about finances in heaven? Is there recession in heaven? It would appear not. What are the streets paved with? Gold. Uh-huh. And what's gold right now? $1,600 an ounce or something like that? Crazy. $1,700? Crazy number. Who has stocks in gold? Bob? Okay. Bob's invested in his wife's jewelry. That's what Bob's done. Friends, if gold in heaven is treated like asphalt on planet Earth, I don't think we have a problem with finances in heaven, do we? What are gates and walls made out of in heaven? Pearls, emeralds, rubies, diamonds. Is that not what it says in the scriptures? Amazing jewels are used in heaven. We do not have a financial problem in heaven. And so when Jesus is teaching us, your kingdom come, God's kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now the challenge is we're praying and saying, God, I've got mortgage bills to pay, and this is just a really bad month. The stove has just gone. Flat tire, and it's a puncture, and I need new tires, and it's just like bills come, don't they? And so what happens to us? Sometimes we begin to distress, we begin to worry, we begin to panic, we begin to, oh my goodness, and we're living as if heaven isn't real. And it's just the way it is, isn't it? And part of it is our culture that is, well, I got to put everything on the credit card, and it's like, well, I can't afford to do it, but I'll do it anyways. And so a whole bunch of us have bad habits of doing that, don't we? Some of you may know a couple. Has John Hunter ever come and played in the band? He's sort of one of the fill-in bass players and goes to different campuses. Has he been here a couple times? John and Lois Hunter would be my age, in their 50s, live in the Beaches area. Their daughter is Sarah Gazzaneo, who is part of the Hyde Park campus. They have never had a credit card. Now, they've chosen never to have a credit card so that they will pray. Because if you have a credit card, you don't have to be praying. You can just put it on the plastic, even if you don't have the money to put it on the plastic. And by not having a credit card, they actually pray when the dishwasher breaks. They pray when the car breaks down. That's a good thought right there, isn't it? They're practically trying to push into God and saying, God, if you're real, we're going to live like you're real. And so that means sometimes they do without. That means sometimes that they have to wait and they have to be savers and those kind of things. What about sickness and disease? Is there sickness and disease in heaven? No. What's the Bible say about that? Book of Revelation. Basically says there's no sickness, no dying, no sorrow. So there's no emotional issues, there's no depression in heaven, there's no bipolar, there's none of those kind of physical things or emotional things or mental health things. They're just not there, are they? They're not there because everything that God wants is is purposely taking place in heaven. Perfection is happening in heaven, and that's what Jesus said to expect on planet Earth. So should we just practice real quick? If you have pain in your body right now, can I get you to stand up? If you have pain in your body, all right, those of you at the table around these folks, just go to them real quick. Find out where the pain is. So those of you that are at a table, just tell people, my shoulder, my knees. Tell people where pain would be. And let's put our hands on their body, where, if it's appropriate to touch that spot. And I'd like you to pray this little prayer over your friends. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my friend's body now. Make sure you say the word now. Can you do that? So Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come for those that have pain right now. We're recognizing that if we were all to move to heaven instantly, there would not be pain in their bodies. We all know that. And Jesus has said, because we can't all go to heaven right now, Jesus is saying heaven can come to earth right now. That's what Jesus is saying. And so we just speak to pain and we say, it goes in the name of Jesus. And heaven comes to earth. Now, those of you beside the person, do something a little prophetic and symbolism kind of thing. Put your hand up into heaven, grab some heaven, and stick it on that part of the body where they need it. Holy Spirit, come. Welcome you to come right now. Begin to bring improvement right now in Jesus' name. Okay, now, because you have pain, pain is something that we can measure. There is less pain, there's more pain, there's no pain. So can you tell your friends how well their prayers worked? Just check yourself a little bit. Okay, this table's doing good. Anyone else feeling a little bit better? Anyone else? Wave your hands, okay. Over here. So this side of the room's doing really good. How about this side of the room? Anyone a little bit better at the back? Yes, no? Okay, well, we will practice. Anything better? Worse? The same? Same? Okay. You're feeling a little bit better? Great. Perfect. This is what heaven's all about. Can I ask another question? What about relationships? Do you think there's poor relationships in heaven? Do you think moms and daughters fight in heaven? What about husbands, wives? What about bosses and employees? What about neighbors? Doesn't appear so, does it? So when we get practical about this prayer that Jesus is praying, he is saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven now. If you're having struggles with someone at work, with a family member, a friend, can I get you folks to stand up? Going through some real heat in a relationship. Can I get you just to stand and let's pray for you too? Now, we're not going to be able to measure it right now unless that person's also in the room and they smile at you. But we can certainly pray for you and we can expect. So if someone's standing at your table, just reach over. If you're right beside them, put your hand on their back or their shoulder. So here's what I'd like you to pray over your friend. Say this, on earth as it is in heaven now. Just pray that over your friend. Now you can make up your own little prayers as well. Jesus, whatever that relationship challenge is, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, parent, child, grandparent, neighbor, sibling, boss at work, manager, someone that maybe you're the boss and they're not acting and behaving the way that you'd like them to. Father, all of those things can change. All those things can change. I don't know if I've told you this story, but I did pray for a lady at our airport campus. We were doing this very kind of thing last year, I think it was. And she had a very poor relationship with her mother. And her mother has been leaving really threatening and argumentative voice messages and sending her emails that had just been full of criticism, and she's trying her best to do everything. And we prayed, she's standing like everyone else is. And she went home, and on her answering machine at home is a little, you know, the red button that says that there's a message. And so she listens to the messages, and there's a message from her mother repenting for all the criticism. She pressed zero to see what time the message was left, and it was around 12:25, which is right when we were praying for people that Sunday morning and having a ministry time. And it would appear that while we were praying, God was working. And she was very, very excited. God's able to do these kind of things. Do we expect it? That's one of the challenges. Well, I'd like you to turn in your Bible to another passage, and it's Matthew chapter 9. So just flip over a couple more pages. Matthew chapter 9. I love this passage. And any of you who've taken School of Champions number 2, how many of you have taken School of Champions number 2, our training course for cell leaders? This passage comes up over and over again because it's such a key passage in the New Testament, where Jesus realizes that there is too much work for him to do, and the best way to see the kingdom come and God's will to be done is for Jesus not to be the primary one who's doing things, but for him to be the primary one who's training and releasing other people into ministry. So it's a foundational passage. And so the passage begins like this in verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues. What is he teaching? He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. What's the good news of the kingdom? Have you been listening to me? Heaven can come to earth right now. That's what Jesus is saying. So as Jesus is talking to people, he's going, hey, friends, who's out there that's sick? Who's got financial problems? Let's ask God to do a miracle right now. And he's talking about this, and people are going, really? Are you sure? And miracles begin to happen. And it says he was teaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed. What does that sound like? That sounds like the enemies involved in people's lives. They were helpless, meaning that they didn't know how to help themselves. They didn't know how to get out of the problem that they're in. They were like sheep without a shepherd. No one to guide them. No one to help them and to just care for them. So this is how Jesus sees the people in every single town. Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, how many disciples are there at this point? 12 is not the right answer. We don't know what the right answer is, but the Bible says that there was a multitude of disciples. This is before Jesus has officially said to you, come and join me and just stand with me and hang out with me. So before Jesus has chosen the 12, everyone who's his follower is called a disciple, just like you and I are called disciples of Jesus as well. And later on, right after this passage, he's going to give an open invitation to everybody. Everybody who'd like can follow me. He's going to pray about it overnight, and the next morning, he chooses 12. But right now, there's a whole bunch of people. And so he says to everybody, he says to the multitude of followers, the harvest is plentiful. What's the problem? Workers are few. Not enough people standing with me. You're all there. You're all listening to me. You all like what I do. But this is not going well. If it's just me going into every town and every village and me doing all the miracles, we have too many towns and not enough me. I need people to help me. And so he says this, ask the Lord of the harvest, God, to send out workers into the harvest field. It is the only prayer request that Jesus ever gave to you and to me. Now, I have a question for you. When you look at this passage, do you think that Jesus is assuming that if you sign up to be one of those people, that you also can do kingdom things? I think that's what Jesus is assuming, isn't it? He is saying to the people, hey, all I need is some workers. If you sign up, we can do this. The same Holy Spirit in me will be in you. How many Holy Spirits have we ever had in the history of the earth? One. And you remember the Apostle Paul said, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. That's an interesting little thought right there, isn't it? And so Jesus is assuming that as the disciples who put their hand up, the people who volunteer, he's assuming that everyone who says, I'll get involved, they're going to be able to see the kingdom of God come. I like that. I can remember, I can't remember the exact day, but I can remember when I was probably 12, 13, Mom. This is my mother right here. And I never told my parents this, but I can remember having a feeling that I'm supposed to be a pastor. I disregarded that feeling right away. I actually didn't think that being a pastor's kid was cool. And many of you have already heard this. I blame Nancy Sinatra for this personally. If you remember Nancy Sinatra, Frank Sinatra's daughter, used to have a singing career. And she had a hit song back in the 60s that went like this. The only man who ever loved me. Do you remember the rest? Son of a preacher man. And so I was bullied by girls, actually not bullied, taunted by girls singing that song because it's a hit song. And they're singing this knowing that I'm a pastor's kid and I'm a guy, and so they're singing this song to me. And I had pimples, I had bad haircuts. Sorry, Mom, my mom cut my hair. I was tall and gangly, like I'm 210 pounds right now. I would have been 140 pounds at the same height. Like, I was really skinny. If I stuck my tongue out, I fell forward. That's how bad it was. I was so skinny, I only had one stripe on my pajamas. I got more. Shall I keep going? No. Anyways, these are bad jokes. I'm sure I've said these jokes here before. I had this feeling that that was my destiny. I did not want to do it. I sort of chose to react negatively against my mom and dad, especially my dad, and begin to try to provoke my dad and being rebellious and, you know, those kind of things that people do sometimes, running away from what God has. So I'm not like Jonah, like leaving country and, you know, that kind of stuff, but it was certainly enough to basically say to God and my parents, I'm not into this. And I can remember as life is getting challenging, like now I'm finished high school, I don't want to go to university right away. I'm not academically inclined. And so I'm trying to get a job and finding a job. And you know, when you don't have anything but high school, you're not getting good job offers and it just isn't going well. And I can remember the day when I sort of said, okay, I give up. I will go to Bible college for 1 year. Just to get God off of my case. And while I'm there, I'm realizing that God's able to use me. I've had some experiences in the past at kids' camps where God used me. And now it's like, okay, I will do this. And so I was signing up. And I can remember going to Dorset Park Baptist Church in Scarborough, Kennedy Road in Ellesmere, which is where Sandra's family, my wife's family were attending. That's where my brother was attending. He was a year ahead of me in Bible college. And so that was the church I started to go to. And I can remember they had, some of you maybe seen a TV program called Our Daily Bread, I think it is. They have little Bible booklets and things like that. So I can't remember exactly what the TV show is called. Is it Our Daily Bread? Is that what it's called? Okay. One of the speakers on that came to our Baptist church and was doing a missions weekend. And I can remember going to the front and acknowledging in front of everybody that I was giving my life to full-time Christian ministry. That's what I was feeling called to. And I know that most of us in this room, that it's not your calling to be full-time, like get a salary from Christian ministry. In fact, the odds are, not the odds, the ratio is that there is one paid Christian for every 300 non-paid Christians. So that's just the ratio all around the world. So not everybody is going to be a pastor and get a salary. Not everyone's going to be a missionary and get a salary. Not everyone's going to have a ministry and get a salary. Not everyone's going to be a full-time worship leader and get a salary. Most of us are good for nothing. We're very good Christians, but we don't get anything for it, as it were. We don't get a salary for it. Does that make sense? And what Jesus is saying to me and to every one of us who put our hand up, it's like as soon as we say, I'm in, he releases to us all of the anointing, all of the gifts, all the stuff that you and I need to be able to do kingdom stuff comes our way. We already have the Holy Spirit, but it just seems like when you become a leader, it seems like, and get involved in ministry, it seems like God gives you extra ability, extra grace, extra patience, extra those kind of things. I try to get everybody as fast as I can to get involved in some sort of Christian ministry. So for those of you that are newcomers here, maybe been coming to our campuses here for like a month or less, you don't have to do anything. But if you've been coming a year or more and don't have a role, you need to sign up for something. Shake people's hands, make the coffee, set up the band, do something. Stand in the parking lot with a clown suit on and say, come to church. Doesn't matter what it is. Park cars. As soon as you put your hand up and get involved, kingdom things begin to happen in your life. And all of a sudden you realize God is using me. Here I am wearing a clown suit just trying to get kids to come to Sunday school. Or here I am parking cars. And it's not what you do. It's the fact that you said yes. Jesus isn't asking everyone, I need Sunday school teachers. I need worship people. He's just saying, who'd like to be a worker? Who'd like to be a shepherd? Who'd like to help harass people? Who'd like to help helpless people? What did I say wrong? Who'd like to help harass people or who'd like to harass people? Is that what I said? Okay, no, you don't want to be harassing people. So what is Jesus expecting of his followers? He's expecting kingdom activity. If heaven is to come to earth, it means that heaven's people can now do heaven things on earth. Are you following my logic? And so in this passage, Jesus is assuming everybody who puts their hand up can do this. Now, I don't know how many people put their hand up. Have you ever thought why Jesus chose the 12? Because it says that there's a multitude of them. I actually asked the Lord one day, why did you choose those 12? And I felt him say they were the only ones who put their hand up. Now, I don't know if that's true. When you get to heaven, you know, we're going to be able to watch the DVD and Blu-ray and, you know, surround sound and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure heaven's got better technology than we have right now. So we're going to be able to see what it was like and sort of relive that kind of experience. And you know that Jesus spends now a whole night just talking to God, and it's almost like he's trying to talk God out of some of the people. Like, who wants to choose Thomas? Because he's already had a word from the Lord. He's going to betray you. And yet Judas. I said Thomas. He's already had a word about Judas that this man's going to betray you, and he's praying about that. He knows in his spirit, this guy is crooked. He's a thief. He will steal money from you, and yet he's put his hand up. And so God says, take him. Everybody gets a chance. Everybody gets a chance. So I don't know if you're a thief here. I don't know if you have a criminal record. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We just had a lady speak yesterday. In fact, she's speaking at the airport campus today, a gal named Shelley Lubin. Were any of the guys at the breakfast yesterday morning? Okay, a couple of the guys. So here's a gal that when she is, I think, Bill, was it 18 or 17? She's kicked out of her home. 17. And she's in California. She's in a Christian home where her parents are not living like Christians. Like they're not actively loving and caring, and they're just not doing the Christian things. And even though this girl likes Jesus and talks to Jesus, she's just rebelling against whatever, and her parents kick her out, and she's on a street somewhere in Los Angeles area, and nowhere to go, never been homeless in her life. Parents haven't given her any money. She's just out, and a gentleman, older gentleman, sees her crying and comes over and sits down, puts his arm around her, and it's like, oh, you're a pretty girl, like God's with you. And not God's with you, I don't think he said anything about God. But he just affirmed her. And then the next day he said to her, you know, there's a guy across the street that'll pay $35 to have sex with you. That'll help you get an apartment. And for $35, she got into prostitution. And just her life just slid into all sorts of things like that. She eventually became a porn actress. And just life was going terrible. And it was just a terrible, terrible story of this, of the slide that this lady got in. But all the way through, she knew about Jesus. And she's calling out to Jesus over and over again. And at times she's like arguing with God and all that kind of stuff. And when she finally got to the place where she'd hit bottom enough, or hit the bottom, she called out to God, and God brought a meth addict into her life to love her as a person. They ended up getting married, deciding to go and visit a church. They went through the Yellow Pages and went like that. They will go to this church, and they went there and gave their lives to Jesus. Now she has a ministry. But if you look her up on Interpol or any of those kind of things, you're going to see a record. We have a guy at the airport campus. His name's Rob Shaw. And Rob's a good buddy of mine. And when he gave his life to Jesus at the airport church on a Friday night, on the Monday morning, I started discipling him. And so Rob and I have been really good buddies. He oversees an orphanage. He started an orphanage in India since then. But Rob used to be a professional drug smuggler, international drug smuggler, international weapons smuggler, international jewelry smuggler, before he became a follower of Jesus. When he was around 40, he realized that most of his friends don't retire. They're either dead or in jail, if you're in that profession. And so he decided to get out and start doing roofs, fixing people's roofs. He realized that Jesus liked roofers. He's always got telling stories about Jesus fixing roofs or going through roofs or, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's like, can God use someone who has a criminal record? Yes. Can God use someone who has a physical disability? Yes. Could God use someone who has emotional issues? Yes. Can God use people who have it together? Yes. So wherever you are, you're in that category that if you want to be used by God, he wants to use you. And the kingdom things, again, we've already covered this. The assumption is from Jesus that if you get involved, you get to see the kingdom come as well. I like that. So now our challenge is not so much that we're not equipped. The challenge is, do we want to do it? And why don't we do it? These are the bigger issues. So how do we bring heaven into our workplace? So can I just ask, how many of you have a job? Okay. So how many of you are in an office environment? Okay, how many of you don't have an office? Okay, a couple of you. So I don't know what you do. Are you salespeople? You're in the car? What do you do? The gentleman. Yeah. Sorry? You're retired. Oh, okay. So you still work though. You put your hand up for income taxes. Okay. So do you have a workplace? You work out of your house? All right. So it's not like you have let me go to who. Back up. Who works in an office? Again, hands up. Okay. What kind of work do you do? Legal secretary. How many people in your workplace? 5. All right. So here's what I would like you to consider doing. This is part of what John and Patricia are talking about for next month, about praying always. What happens if you were to pray through your office once a week? And just take 15 minutes of your lunchtime. And just physically walk around the office pretending that you can't find a file. But what you're doing is you're intentionally praying in your office space. What about if you every morning when you get there, you go just a little bit early? We have a Polish lady at the airport campus named Eva. And she was in my cell group. I used to have a Polish cell group. Well, it's a long story, but I'm leading a Polish cell group. The only non-Polish speaking person in the group. Don't ask. Wonderful, wonderful meals though. Especially if you like borscht and things like that, beetroot soup. Eva is having massive problems with her boss. Her boss just is persecuting her, and Eva's thinking it's because I'm a Christian and because I have a Bible on my desk and things like that, and everyone's against her. And so we as a group began to say, what are you doing? What kind of prayers are you praying? Well, I'm not doing any prayers. Are you cursing people? Well, yes, I am. Okay, stop doing that. stop saying it's everyone else's problem, and now begin to pray for people. And so we encouraged her to do these kind of things. Pray through her office each week. Pray for her work. Pray for her desk every day as soon as she sat down. Father, this is your presence right here. Come and be with me. All those kind of things. And within a week, she was the star. She got a raise and a promotion. A raise and a promotion is two good things, isn't it? And it was like just in 1 week, it turned around. God's able to do these kind of things. All sorts of different possibilities of different things. Did you know that you can be a pastor, you can be a shepherd of people without having any formal title? How many of you know how to play guitar? Alrighty. So this gal here, what's to stop her from putting a little notice up on the bulletin board in here, free bass guitar lessons? And she gets five people who sign up, and she meets them at Tim Hortons, she meets them at Starbucks, she meets, maybe not, they wouldn't bring you bass guitars there. So they come to her house in the basement, into the garage, something like that, and she says it's free classes for 10 weeks, an hour a Saturday. And who's the pastor of those 10 people? She is. Does she have to talk about Jesus day one? No. And sooner or later, someone's going to say, like, you're really good. What did you do? Oh, I play in my church's band. Oh, church band. Really? They have a band at church. Yeah. Well, why don't you come with me? Actually, why don't everybody come next week and watch how I play the bass and watch how I fit into a band? Oh, so this is homework. Yes, it's homework. Come to church with me. Can you see the possibilities that you become a shepherd for people just doing the things that you like to do? That's what we're talking about. This is one of the emphasis that we're going to be talking to our cell leaders and our ministry workers in 2 weeks from now when we have our ministry workers meeting. We're going to be talking about how do we empower people to bring the kingdom and make this a little bit better. Who's the tax man again? Right over there. Give free taxes for people who are unemployed. Actually, you could be training other people. You could, all sorts of different things that we can do for people. So the question is, are we being used in the kingdom? And probably most of you see kingdom things happen on a regular basis in your life. How many of you get to pray for people for healing maybe once a month, once every 2 months, that you get an opportunity to pray for someone, okay? How many of you get to be an encourager to someone if they're just complaining when they show up for coffee breaks and they're just grumbling, oh, you know what, it's not really that bad. You know what, I used to have, and you just begin to tell a little story. How many of you are encouragers? See, this is kingdom stuff right here. And it's a little bit of a skill taking it one step further to just begin to say something like, well, I play bass in the church band. Oh, church, you go to church? What kind of church do you go to? Well, you have just, with a fishing rod, tossed the bait out and someone has just bit. And when you say, I play bass in a church band, a whole bunch of people aren't going to say a word about that. But if one or two people bite, oh, what kind of church do you go to? Ah, they are now leading the conversation. They're the one asking the questions. You're the responder. Do they know that they're being led down a path? No, they don't. But you're just bringing the kingdom into planet Earth. And then when they say, well, actually, I got a little bit of back pain. I don't know if I could play bass this week. Oh, well, let's pray for you. And all of a sudden, the kingdom begins to happen. What happens if she has this class? Someone says, oh, I don't think I can come today. I've got a sore wrist. I don't think I can do the frets. Well, why don't you come anyways and we'll pray for you. Pray for me. What happens if the gal gets healed? Tell everybody what we did before the class started. Well, she prayed for me. And my wrist is better. Oh, I've got pain too. What can you pray for me? All of a sudden, you're a pastor. All of a sudden, you're a shepherd. And seeing kingdom things begin to happen. Why don't we do this more often? This is the question. The answer is most of us are afraid. That's just the way it is, isn't it? How many of you have had a bad experience where you have prayed for someone or you've talked about Jesus and it went terribly wrong? I've had those. I've almost been in fights where people assume that I'm, you know, doing stuff and people have just, they're just angry sometimes. And it's like, okay, well, that's not the person. Do you remember when Jesus trained his disciples in going out on twos for the very first time? Chapter 10, right after this passage. He said that when you go, you let your peace go out and you see who responds. Meaning, not everybody's going to grab it. Not everybody's ready yet. But those who are ready, they're going to grab the bait. They're going to show an interest, and you're going to be able to see who's ready. And the challenge for many of us is we've had bad experiences. We've talked about Jesus, and it just didn't go well. Can I ask you this? How many of you, after you've talked about Jesus, after you've prayed for someone, after you've done anything kingdom-related, as you leave, you're getting all these thoughts, I should have done it like this, I should have done it like this, I should have done it like this. How many of you had I should have done it like this? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Here's what I just learned recently, like in the last 6 months. That is the Holy Spirit talking to me. I used to assume it's Satan talking to me and saying, you should have said it like this, you should have said it. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to go, get that out of me and all this kind of stuff and all the condemnation that I'm taking upon myself and all those kind of things. That's how I used to feel. And then the Holy Spirit said, I have been trying to train you that next time, say it like this. Next time, do it like this. Because you always get the better idea afterwards, don't you? So if we receive that as that's the Holy Spirit saying, well done, good try, next time though, do it like this. And you go, I love those kind of things. And so when an opportunity comes and now it is the next time and it's like, you do it like this and it's like, oh my goodness, that was so much better. That's the Holy Spirit trying to help us to get better at doing kingdom things. Is that all right? If you have a natural tendency to be an introvert, to just be a quieter person and let someone else step up and take the bullet, can I get you to put your hand up? If you're an introvert, if you're a quieter person, you're not an outgoing person, quiet people, put your hands up. So this is Steve Long. This is absolutely me. I have two sons. One's an extrovert and one's an introvert. My extrovert son is my youngest guy, and when they were, he's 3 years younger, and it was like when there was adventure, my oldest son John would always see if Chris lived before he tried it. So we're jumping off a ladder. How high can you go? Jumping off of a ladder. Chris is up at the top, and John's jumping from the first rung. And Chris is just trying it, and if he lives, my son will try it. Well, that's part of the way that God has made a whole bunch of us, is that we're followers. We want to see some other people do it before we jump in, and that is okay. That's why we have pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, is some people who have some experience to say, actually, I had this amazing story. I did this. I got stories on everything other than prophetic and other than apostle, and I'm good. I've got good pastor stories. I've got good healing stories. Prophets have great prophet stories. I gave this word, and it's like their life turned upside down. Well, that's part of the role of spiritual leaders is to tell their stories, to say, okay, I think I could do that. I'm better than them, as you're looking at your pastor. Or I'm like them. I'm like them. I saw them yell at their wife. I do that. I qualify. I'm trying to be a little silly here. Introverts, how about you stand up? Quieter people, stand up. We're going to pray for you. All righty. Those of you around the table, if someone's standing up, just put your hand on their back. Actually, put your hand on their backbone. Let's pray for their backbones to be stronger. So, Daddy, would you come for our friends? And, Father, we thank you that Jesus was asking for followers, and these people like to be followers. And there's something just in them that they're being out and standing up in front of crowds and being the initiator. That's just not really part of their makeup, and yet they're wonderful when given opportunities. Probably you folks are best one-on-one. You're better in small groups. And God wants you to be a specialist in those small meetings, one person, two people. And we bless every time there's fear that comes to say, I can't do this. I'm not a very good speaker. Remember, Moses thought that, didn't he? An amazing leader, one of the best leaders in the history of our planet, Moses, and was a stutterer. Didn't feel that he could talk well. And yet God used him. He had a criminal record. God used him. And so we bless those of you that are quiet by nature, that the kingdom of God would come in your, through your personality, through your quietness, through your just loving people and caring for people. We ask, Holy Spirit, use these men and women as they push into the kingdom of God. May kingdom things happen in their lives. In Jesus' name. Okay, all the extroverts stand up. This should be everyone else because there's only introverts and extroverts. There's not another group. So if you didn't stand up for the first one, stand up this time. There's no third category of these ones. This is black or white. It's up or down. Alrighty, those of you at a table, stretch your hands. There's more people standing than there are seated. So if you're seated, just stretch your hands around the people at your table. Do you know that you folks have examples in the Bible? It would appear that Peter was an extreme extrovert. And you know what? He did things that no other disciple did. He walked on water. Like no one else did that. Did he? He became the first leader of the Christian church. Catholics in their tradition have Peter as the first pope, and evangelical Christians also accept that. He was the first leader of the Christian church, universal. And he was an out there guy, took chances, not afraid to say something. Just close your eyes. Father, we bless these people that you've made them pioneers. You've made them explorers. You've made them comfortable to take chances. And I bless you to not to rely on your own personality. I bless you not to rely on your own boldness, but to rely on the Holy Spirit. And if you remember in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, and there's an extrovert and an introvert. It says that they were arrested for healing a man in public. Remember that man who was at the gate, 40 years lame? They're put in jail because they caused a miracle to take place. And the very chapter 4, it begins by saying this. Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke the word of God boldly at this court case. And I bless you folks that are outgoing people to be filled with the Holy Spirit and boldness. For you to have words that come. And just to remember for everyone in the room, when Jesus talked about when you stand in front of kings, when you stand in front of important people, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And we bless you to have your ear open to what the Holy Spirit's saying. We bless you for those little nudges to, okay, be quiet now. Okay, talk right now. Move right now. We bless you to be moved by the Spirit, to be at the right place at the right time. If you remember at the dedication of Jesus in the temple, an older lady and an older man showed up at the right place at the right time. Both of them, Simeon and Anna, it says that they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That takes an extrovert to go up to a little baby in the arms of a mom and dad and go up to them and say, I think that your son is the Messiah. Like, that's an extrovert, isn't it? To have a word from the Lord for a couple you've never met in a public place. I bless you to function like Simeon's and Anna's, that know that you've got something from the Lord to be able to give it away to people. I'd like you to get in twos real quick. Can you do that? Just find one other person that's right beside you. Grab someone's hand. Can you get in a two? If you're not in a two, put your hand up if you need a partner. Hands up if you need a partner. Right over there. Who else needs a partner? If you need to get in a three, you can do that as well. If you need to be in a three, do that as well. If you're in a four, break it down to a two. Tallest person in your group, close your eyes. Tall person in your group, close your eyes. Shorter person, I would like you to hold their hands and to ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that heaven stuff happens through them. Can you just say a little prayer and say, heaven comes into you, heaven comes out of you Miracles begin to happen. Financial breakthroughs begin to happen in other people's lives. God wants to use you. Just pray over them. God wants to use you. God chose you. When Jesus chose the 12, it would appear that there's some extroverts and some introverts in that group. Do you know there's one disciple that we hear his name listed, and that is the last time you hear about him? No stories about him. There's a couple of disciples, you hear almost nothing about them. You just hear that they were there. And then there's some disciples, you hear a lot about them. So Father, we bless our tall friends today. The kingdom of God comes. The will of God happens as they speak it, as they believe it, as they minister it. Kingdom things begin to happen. Okay, switch around. Tall person, you pray for your friend now. Pray the very same thing. Ask for their hands to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, that when they touch someone, when they pray, when they visit somewhere, they carry heaven with them. Father, would you come? Use us today. Use my friend when they pray for their friends. Use my friend's hand when they pray for healing, that healing begins to happen. When they pray for depression to go, that depression leaves. When they pray for financial miracles for their neighbors, for their friends, that those things happen, that heaven happens. Heaven happens on earth like it is in heaven. We bless you to know that you're chosen by God. When you said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came into you, and God wants to use you. He wants to use you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay, everyone just close your eyes now. Just take a deep breath. Let's just breathe in the Holy Spirit. Let's be filled again. Holy Spirit, come. Just welcome His presence. Welcome His presence again. When we slow down, that's when God's able to come the best. When we just acknowledge our need of Him. That's part of the give us today our daily bread. Most of us don't need bread every day. Most of us don't need provisions every single day. But it's an acknowledgement that, Father, I need you every day. I need you every day. Holy Spirit, come. May your presence dwell with us. May heaven be in our physical bodies. May heaven be in our mind. May heaven be in our emotions. May heaven be part of our will. May heaven be part of our spirit. Spirit of God, come. Dwell with us. Fill us again today, Daddy. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Daddy. Be our Daddy. Be our Father. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Look at me. How many of you are feeling the peace of God with you as you're doing that? Isn't that amazing? Just 15 seconds, just time out for God, and God comes. Can you imagine what it would be like if you pushed in a little bit more than that? How many of you have one of these 10-minute buzzers? You have those? I have a 10-minute phone app. I have an egg timer on here that just goes every 10 minutes. And I can put it on my, it can vibrate. And I love these babies. Every 10 minutes, this is part of our challenge for everyone this year that's part of Catch the Fire, is if you're pushing into God and saying a little prayer, Father, I acknowledge you. You're amazing. You're good. That's Ephesians 5. Always pray. Always be thankful. And what's the other one? Rejoice always. As you do those things, every 10 minutes, you are tithing your time to the Lord. Did you know that? You're giving a tithe of your waking hours and saying, and it's not even that you're praying for a whole minute, but just a fraction of that. That's all the Lord requires is a fraction, isn't it? He doesn't require 90% of your income. He requires 10. It's a tithe. And so here we are giving just a tithe of our time, saying, Father, as we push into you, kingdom things are going to come our way. That's our theme this year. Well, you may be seated. We have some amazing food that is coming up. Alexander, who's the MC? Joseph is. Dr. Joseph, come on up here. So for those of you that do not know, we are celebrating John Tanyan's 50th birthday. It is not his birthday right today, but it is his birthday 3 weeks, on the 11th of February. So you know why we're doing it today and not other days? They weren't able to get the kitchen and all those kind of things. So today's the day. Today's the day. So, Joseph.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. We always love and enjoy it when you come and speak at our church. It's always a joy.